couple of goods and not a whole lot of responses. Are we awake? We ready? Are you encouraged in your faith today? I pray that you're sobered. I pray that you're encouraged in your faith today. And if that's not you, that's okay. I pray that before the end of our time together, you'll be encouraged in your faith today. You'll be inspired and challenged through the word that we're going to look at, that we all would be to follow hard after the Lord and strengthened in our faith. I pray that particularly today because I want to follow up last week's message with a look at our faith today. Do you have faith today? And if you have faith, in what have you placed your faith? Or what is the thing, the great spiritual endeavor that you have on your heart that you would dare to believe God for? That you would dare to step out on a limb and say, hey, I'm going to ask for this. I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to trust God for what the outcome is, whatever it is. But in response to him calling us to watch and to pray and to respond, he says, will I find faith in the earth when I return? I pray that we'll be encouraged to consider what's our faith in. Do we have it? Where is it? And what are we doing with it? Last week, we spoke about believing and belonging, believing and belonging. God's call and his design for us is that we believe in the truth of Jesus Christ and that we come to belong to him and belong to one another. That's what the scripture says, that each member belongs to the other members. And so we read from Romans 10 that Christ himself is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The Apostle Paul says, not for everyone, but for everyone who believes, he says here. He goes on to say in that chapter to the Romans and to us, if you believe in your heart, I pray that we hear this morning. If you believe in your heart, that's where belief is found, not in the mind. In our Western sense, we think it's in the mind, right? No. He says, with the heart man believes. Consider that. The kind of belief that results in righteousness happens not in the mind, but in the heart. In the heart. When belief exists or occurs in the mind, it's merely informational. It's just information. There's potential in that information, but until or unless it goes beyond the mind and goes to this place of the heart, it's just information. But when belief happens in the heart, it's transformational. It's no longer just information that's potential. Once in our heart and soul, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it transforms our lives. It changes our lives. We're transformed from something to something, from unrighteousness to righteousness, all because of belief in Christ in this seat of our hearts. Transformation from death to life, from temporal life to eternal life, from the natural realm to the spiritual or supernatural realm. And Paul says that this belief in the heart not only results in righteousness or right standing before God, but it's followed by confession, which results in salvation. So not only does the true believer stand right before God, but the true believer experiences salvation by and with God. I want you to be encouraged in your faith today. You're being transformed from something to something. Is that you today? Do you have faith in the Lord today? Somebody believes it. We ask what it means to have this kind of belief. What is true belief? What does it look like? The biblical definition means to be persuaded of or convinced of, so much so that you actually place confidence in. Persuaded so much in Christ that I place confidence in him and not in other things. Paul says to the Philippians, we serve God by his Spirit. We boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Where's your confidence today? To believe in your heart, not just in the mind, but in the heart. To believe means I'm placing confidence in him, not in the flesh, not in myself to save myself, not in myself to make everything work out the way I just wish it would. But I place confidence in him no matter what it seems to be working out or how it seems to be going. To truly believe in the place of the heart, as he's talking about here, means I'm persuaded to put confidence in him instead of in myself. And so I'll ask again, do we truly believe And I asked if we look back at the week of our life, if we could see the film in those moments where we had a chance, would we be shown to have placed confidence in him or confidence in something or someone else? And we finished our time of talking about belief last week with the Apostles' Creed, which I realized was new for some of us. This is the beauty of a community church, and the challenge of a community church is we have people from different traditions and expressions of worship and walks of faith. Some people last Sunday was like, this is the first time I've heard this Apostles' Creed. I love that. I love that they come from a different tradition, and I love that some of us, listen, you heard me say it before, I'm not big on traditions, right? But if there's a tradition that's biblically based that points us to God and reinforces our relationship with him and with each other, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And so for 1,800 years, you know, Pastor Greg, I heard you say about this Apostles' Creed over the years. Pastor Greg would lead us in it at different times, and he would say it's not just something that we believe, but here's what we believe in. Here's what we believe. Time and time again, he would say that. And so the beauty of the Apostles' Creed is it's both of those things. It's biblically based and it encourages and underscores and undergirds our relationship with God and with one another, and that's what we ended with last week. And it was a declaration not only that we believe, but what we believe in. You see, it's not enough to simply have faith. As so many people today would tell you, oh, just have faith. You just got to have faith. Just this simple thing, if they just believe, if you'll only believe enough. It's not enough to just have generic, simple faith. Your faith is only as potent and effective and powerful as the object of the thing in which you're placing your confidence. It's not enough to just go out and put on a brave face and try to be strong and have faith. No, 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 no. That's what the world will tell you. Just have faith. They latch onto this thing, and it's not really the kind of faith that the Scripture teaches about. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, reckless, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It kind of describes us in our culture. Holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. It's not enough to simply have faith. That word form means to have the shape or the appearance of something. Paul's warning Timothy and us, not everyone who talks about faith or looks like a true believer truly is a believer or has truly come to saving faith. To simply believe isn't enough. If you simply believe, the Apostle James says, you do well, even the demons in hell believe. When last I looked, they're not going to heaven, right? When last I looked, they're not going to be saved in this thing. So it's not enough to simply believe or just have faith. I was talking to a man this week, listening to his life struggles and hearing him speak about the faith that he'd had and the scriptures that he had quoted over the course of his life. He was thinking that just having faith or just going through some of these motions was enough to save him, and he's like, I know, I quoted these scriptures, I did, he was fading in his faith, actually, and he's saying, I tried doing those things, and I'm like, dude, even the devil quoted scripture. You can quote the scripture, and just because you have a semblance or something, are we after a form of faith, something that looks like faith, or are we in the practice of a true faith, placing confidence in the Lord? In our relationships, in our vocations, in our church life, in our life groups? Are we after a form of something, or are we after practicing this genuine reliance upon the Lord? You can't be lured into the idea of faith rather than the actual practice of faith itself, because that's where transformation happens. That's how it happens. So this morning, I want us to consider our faith for just a couple of minutes. Let's look at Matthew 17, where we'll have it up here on the slides. Matthew 17, verses 14 to 20. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and is very ill, and he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Lord, we are humbled by these words. Lord, we are humbled when we hear this assertion of what faith not just looks like, but what it really is and what it's supposed to really be in our lives and in this community. Lord, I pray that your word would not only convict us, but that it would encourage us to take you at the truth of your word, to be willing to look at the mountain and say, mountain, move. We trust in you today, Father. In Jesus' name. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible to you. So I'll ask you again, where's your faith today? What is your faith in? What are the possible things you're believing God for today? So in this passage, we see that a man's come to Jesus asking for mercy on his son. By his own words, his son is very ill, so ill, in fact, that the disciples were not able to cure him, he says. Jesus, recognizing the actual problem at hand, casts a demon out of the man's son, and the boy was cured at once, Matthew says. This left the disciples wondering why they could not do what Jesus did or why they could not heal him, so they ask him, and he replies, because of the littleness of your faith. Truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seed, I think I've heard this somewhere before this passage. Jesus said a few chapters earlier, as recorded by Matthew, he said the kingdom of heaven is like, of all things, a mustard seed, a mustard seed. It's no mistake that he repeats the theme here. We've been told to pay particular attention to what's repeated. Let's read that in Matthew 13. So before this incident where he tells them that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, in Matthew 13, he presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. So on two distinct occasions, Jesus invokes this common simile of a mustard seed to teach us both about the kingdom of heaven and about our faith in God and his heavenly kingdom. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, and he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, in other words, if you have kingdom faith, if you have kingdom faith, if you truly believe, if you have mustard seed faith, you will say to this mountain, this is the distinctive of those who have true faith. They speak to the mountain. I'll ask you again, do you have faith? Because if you do, here's a distinctive of your life, and it should be of mine, that you talk to mountains, that you speak to mountains. Listen, there are mountains to climb and go around. There are mountains to speak to, I believe, as Jesus says here. Here's the distinctive. If you have kingdom faith, mustard seed faith, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move. Someone may be here today who does not yet have kingdom faith. Someone may be here today who has kingdom faith but has not been speaking to the mountain, has not been saying, mountain, move. Are you saying, do you have kingdom faith? Well, are you saying mountain move in your life when you're confronted with the mountain? That seems impossible, and without God is impossible. The Greek word for mustard is sinapi. It's believed to originate from this other word, sinomai, which means to sting or to hurt. To sting or to hurt. Now, I have a confession to make. I don't know. I don't really like mustard, okay? I'm not big on condiments, in case you hadn't heard. Mustard in particular. I don't know if you've ever consumed raw mustard before. It's kind of bitter. It's very strong. If you have any quantity, it doesn't take much to actually sting your mouth a little bit. No wonder they have it originating from this word, to sting or to hurt. It's potent stuff. Is that the kind of faith you have? Though it's small, it's potent. Though it might not be as big as the mountain, it can move the mountain. Is that the kind of faith we have? Does it sting? Does it have an effect when it's applied? Is the enemy hurt by our faith? You know, sometimes I think we're like those disciples. We believe and we have kingdom faith, but we're a little bit ignorant of the situation. The disciples were trying to cure the man's illness. That's what the boy's father said. I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. They were seeing the man's condition in natural terms of an illness or something. Perhaps mental illness. They wanted the man's circumstances to be improved. How many times do we pray that our circumstances would be improved? How many times do we look around and say, oh man, I'm praying that you, that this relationship works out. I'm praying that your job, that you get the raise you want. I'm praying that you can do this or pay that bill. Circumstances, how many times? Praying that your body would be cured. The illness you have would be well. I think we're like those disciples. We don't see what's really going on. We don't see what's truly important and highly valued in God's eyes. It makes sense. We all do it. God wants us not to feel better, but to be better. Jesus sees through those symptoms of what's going on in the natural and those circumstances that we pray for so much of the time. And he's saying there's a spiritual component here that I want you to experience, to know, to walk in, to grow in. Sometimes we're like the disciples. Natural circumstances are what we fixate on. And you know what happened when they prayed? Nothing. You know what happened to the natural circumstances? The guy was just as bad off as he was before. And though they had faith, just like you and I have, genuine faith, because it was misdirected at something else in the natural instead of the true actual condition, Jesus gave them an education. He said, listen, you got to speak to the right mountain. Some of us are off there speaking to other all kinds of mountains. And no, that's not even the problem. We pray about all these problems and it's like, no, that's not, you're speaking to the wrong mountain. I appreciate what you're trying to do there. But you're supposed to be directing this energy in some other place, this faith that you have. So they take the boy to Jesus. What does he do? He speaks to the actual mountain. Instead of addressing the natural realm, the natural circumstance, Jesus addresses the spiritual realm and the spiritual, supernatural circumstance. He rebukes the demonic realm, and Matthew says the demon came out of him. Now let me ask you, what was the mountain that needed to move? Was it the burns on the lad's hands because he had been thrown into the fire? His body could be healed. Is that the mountain, or was it the thing that was actually causing him to be cast into the fire? I think sometimes we fail to recognize the mountain to which we should be speaking. Jesus wasn't looking for a simple change in the natural. He was looking for a substantial change in the supernatural. And all it takes is a little bit of some potent kingdom faith and someone who has a desire for the true mountain to be moved to speak to it. And Jesus said, it will move. Where's your faith today? And Jesus said that a mustard seed is smaller than other seeds, and he was right. Here's what mustard seeds look like. Let's go back a couple there, Aaron. Let's go back. Yep, there we go. Mustard seeds. Look at that. Got a whole handful of them right there, just in a, like 1-inch square in his hand. Little seeds, but they grow into a tree. You can see here, if it's going to work for us, what a mustard tree looks like. Grow up to about 10 feet high. Just from one small seed there, Aaron. Yeah, so there's a mustard seed. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Mustard seed. Here's what your faith is like. If you just have faith the size of that mustard seed, like the kingdom, then you can say to the mountain, move. If you do have it, he says, you will say to the mountain, move. But let me ask you, what good is that seed unless it's sown? What good is the seed if you just hold it? Yep, I got it. Here's my faith. There it is. What good is it in the natural? Let's forget the spiritual. In the natural, what good is a seed by itself? It's never going to grow into this tree unless it's planted, right? Unless it's sown. We, so many of us saying we have faith, are we sowing the seed? Are we giving it a chance to grow? And there's something else about it too. Listen, you might say, Pastor, I've prayed so many times. I've prayed. I've absolutely exercised my faith and just I didn't get the thing that I prayed for. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Sounds kind of like the disciples. Maybe you're praying for the wrong mountain. I don't know. Maybe you're praying about natural circumstances and ought to be praying about spiritual ones. I don't know, but here's what I know, that a seed won't grow unless it's planted, and a seed won't grow unless it first dies. That's what Jesus said in John 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The founding pastor of my home church in Virginia once said, you aren't worth your salt as a Christian if you haven't given up a few times. No, unless you've died to this thing, man. Unless you've hit the wall and been left for dead. He's like, I'm not going to pay much attention to what this guy says until he's given up a few times and been overwhelmed and until he's died to some things. The only way that a seed can grow is if it first falls down and dies. Some of us haven't experienced growth in our faith because we never truly surrendered our faith to God. Let me say that again. Some of us may not have experienced growth in our faith because we've never truly surrendered our faith to God. What is your faith in? Is my faith in the outcome? Is my hope and my expectation that the outcome is going to work out just how my finite mind thinks that it should? And I should inform him about how I think it should work out, and then when the outcome doesn't happen, where's my faith then? What is your faith in? Or do we say, here am I, Lord, and here's this. Here's the mess, Lord. Here's me as I am. And Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm just going to lay it at your feet and leave it with you. And you know what? It's not my responsibility to move the mountain. It's my responsibility to respond in faith and to say to the mountain, mountain, move. It's up to God to move the mountain. I don't have to be concerned about the outcome. What would we pray for if we weren't concerned about the outcome or afraid of what it might look like? How big would our faith be? Or what big, great thing could come from such a small little seed? If only it's sown, if only it dies and you lay it down and say what Jesus said you're going to say, mountain, move, it's up to you. What's your faith in today? Do we place our faith in God or in an outcome? If we put our faith in God, then we're free to step out in great faith because we're released from needing to witness a particular outcome. That man that I spoke to this week, he wanted a particular outcome, and his faith was in that outcome. And when it didn't materialize, his faith dissipated because his faith was in a result and not in the Lord. That's not kingdom faith. That's not faith that stings. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with desiring a result. This man who came to Jesus, you think he didn't desire a result for his son? You think Jesus didn't desire a certain result when he was praying, Lord, let this cup pass from me? Jesus desired a specific outcome. It's not wrong to desire that outcome. It's only wrong when I place my faith and the hope that I have in God depends on the outcome being the one that I want to have. Jesus, I thought I could just say the magic words and the mountain would be gone. Maybe you're praying, speaking to the wrong mountain. Or maybe your faith is in an outcome and not in the Lord himself. And speaking of that, when Jesus prayed, let this cup pass from me, it didn't pass from him, did it? Okay? And just like us and some of the challenges that we face and the cross that we have to bear, you can speak to that mountain all day and it's not going to go anywhere. I'm called as he was to carry a cross. I'm called as he was to as I go on this journey towards him, to bear some situations and to speak to other mountains and watch them move. You can pray all you want, but you'll still be called as Jesus was to drink that cup. Sometimes the mountain that has to be moved is me. It's my pride. It's my selfishness. It's my own intellect getting in the way. Man, I need to speak to that mountain and say, mountain, move. You're getting in the way. I'm going towards the Lord here, and this stuff's getting in the way. Speak to that mountain. Speak to the spiritual condition when you're praying for people. Speak to the spiritual condition. Ask God and believe God just with that little stinging faith that has an impact. That's going to hurt out there when it's applied. It's going to hurt the demons of darkness. Would we pray for the spiritual condition and be more concerned with eternity than with the temporal things? Would we speak to those mountains? Hear me on this if you don't hear anything else this morning. I believe your Heavenly Father is infinitely and intimately more concerned with changing me and you to accommodate the circumstances than he is to change the circumstances to accommodate me and you. Is your faith in the Lord or is your faith in your outcome or the circumstances? Nothing wrong with desiring a certain outcome as Jesus seemed to, as the father of this troubled boy did. Just know this, that you and I will be called to drink the cup as Christ did, even though sometimes we pray for the cup to pass. So where is your faith today? If you have faith, in what are you placing your faith? In what grand spiritual endeavor would you dare to believe God for? I challenge you to begin praying today and this week, mountain move. Mountain move, and I encourage you to make sure you're speaking to the right mountain. I challenge you to begin praying about dead and desolate spiritual condition. Be moved in Jesus' name. With my little mustard seed faith, I'm believing God for a spiritual change and awakening in my heart and in your heart and in this community. I'm believing God can do it, and from now on, I'm praying mountain move. I'm praying mountain move to the things that stand in the way of what God wants to do spiritually. Lord, and I know sometimes that mountain is my own mindset, my own attitude, or maybe it's some of our own traditions, Lord, or our own histories, Lord, or our past, that I pray in Jesus' name, mountain move. Lord, I pray that you would break through the things that stand in the way of our spiritual condition being changed and transformed by just this little bit of faith that has all the potency of the kingdom of heaven behind it. I pray you would inspire us, Lord, to believe you for what's possible today in Jesus' name. So let me encourage you today. Have faith in God and not in your own desired outcomes. Put your faith to use. A seed can't grow unless it's sown, and it won't grow unless it first dies. So be willing to let it die, but speak to the mountains in your life. Jesus says, if you have true faith, you will say, you will say to the mountain, mountain move. Would you stand with me this morning as we're dismissed? There are two things in our church body that demonstrate the reality, the potency, and the authenticity of the faith that we say we have. And two of those things are love for one another and unity with one another. And I pray that as the seed is sown and our spiritual lives grow as a result, that we would experience both the love and the unity to which God has called us. And I pray it begins today, Father, with an open session with anybody who has thoughts, concerns, and questions with respect to the church going forward and the budget and the plan for the year ahead. Father, I just pray, Lord, in faith, Lord, to whatever the enemy would plan for evil, Lord, the enemy would love nothing more than to see us divided or to see himself or our flesh be in the forefront. But Lord, we pray that Christ would have preeminence, Lord, in the words that we say, the relationships that we have, that your love and the unity of the body would be present, Lord, for your glory. And so we say to the things that stand in the way, mountain move. Mountain move in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that every person in this room would begin to say to mountains that are in the way, Lord, spiritual forces, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and principalities in high places. I pray, Father, we would engage the spiritual battle, Lord, and see the real mountain that stands in our way or stands in between us and you or us and one another. And that we would, as people who are of true mustard seed kingdom faith, would speak to the mountain and say, mountain move, and nothing would be impossible for us. So we trust in you, Lord. We thank you for the reminder from your word today. And I pray that it wouldn't just be something that we think about with our mind, but it would find, Lord, your word would find root and find good ground and good soil in our hearts, Lord. And that it would be like that kingdom of heaven that grows into a tree where the birds of the air can come and nest in, Lord, where other people can find shade and find comfort and sustenance. Lord, I pray. Lord, you can do it. You can do it. Thank you, Lord. Our hope is in you. Our hope is in you. Circumstances, come what may, our hope is in you. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.